This is episode 327 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, April the 11th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McCollum and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. In the cut and thrust and sometimes controversial world of media, there are three major food groups involved in the entertainment industry who get pictures and sound to your TV screen. At the top of the food chain, there are content creators, people who make media, such as television, radio, and films. And at the bottom of the food chain is you, the consumer of pictures and sound. But between you and the content creators are the distributors, the people who provide the technology to get the content to you. Companies such as TV stations, telcos, and online companies such as Netflix, Hulu, and Google. Yes, Google. Google owns YouTube, the most popular video source on the internet today. And why? Because it's free. According to reports in the UK Guardian this week, Google is strengthening its relationship with Hollywood and online program makers in an attempt to reposition YouTube for the rise of internet-connected TV. The world's most popular video website will invest tens of millions of dollars in professionally produced original programming as more viewers watch YouTube from their living room. Google is also reported to be planning a major overhaul of YouTube this year, with the introduction of channels for topics such as arts and sport. According to the Wall Street Journal, about 20 of these channels would feature several hours of professional programming each week. The move would represent a big shift away from the user-generated video that made YouTube the third most popular site on the planet. However, Google has attempted to play down the reports, saying they're always updating the look and feel of YouTube and that any changes in YouTube's design would involve lots of research and would be rolled out slowly over time to ensure the best possible user experience. Although partnerships with broadcasters such as the BBC go back to 2007, Google has hastened its experimentation with full-length TV programming in recent months. He who holds the keys is king, and Google have certainly had the upper hand in the online world for many years. And this move sees them flex their muscles to maintain that lead in the foreseeable future.
This week on Tech Talk Radio,
Adam Turner finds out about Acer's new tech offerings. A 75-year-old granny takes two countries offline. The ocean floor is to be mapped for Google Earth. NBN Co. reveals ISP list for first release sites. And Facebook, the world's largest social network, wants to get in on the Computer Hardware Act. But first up, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, the head of NBN Co. resigns. The Australian Defence Forces embroiled in a Skype sex tape scandal. An Armenian woman brings her country's internet to a grinding halt. Facebook goes green. And a 17-year-old software developer hits pay dirt in Apple's App Store. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The head of the National Broadband Network Construction Company, NBN Co., resigned last week. Mr. Patrick Flanagan left the organisation just 3 days after a controversial decision to cease construction negotiations with 14 companies. NBN Co. said this was because of concerns that the proposed contract pricing was too high and that none of the offers had been competitive. Earlier last week on ABC Radio National, an NBN Co. spokesman, Mr. Kevin Brown, said he was confident the network could be built for $36 billion.
We're reasonably confident, but if we can't, we'll come back and say to the government we couldn't do it at that price. Our business case didn't reflect the true cost of building this network. That isn't our view at the moment. We've done a lot of benchmarking work to have what we believe is a fair price. What we're going to do is get to that point or tell people we're unable to do it.
In a statement last week, NBNCo said it was disappointed that Mr. Flanagan had decided to resign and that he made a valuable contribution to the leadership team. NBNCo's General Manager of Construction Design and Planning, Mr. Dan Fleming, will now undertake Mr. Flanagan's role in his stead. Mr. Flanagan was hired by NBNCo in 2009. The Australian Defence Forces have again come under media scrutiny, this time following the alleged use of internet chat software Skype to broadcast a covertly filmed sex tape. Chief of the Defence Forces, Air Chief Marshal Angus Houston, described the broadcast of a young cadet having sex at the Australian Defence Force Academy in Canberra as an abhorrent but isolated incident. The 18-year-old female was unaware of the sex tape until she was told last week by military investigators. The ACT's Attorney General, Mr. Simon Corbell, spoke on ABC Radio last week and said that criminal sanctions could apply to the perpetrators in this case.
There are a range of offences involving the misuse of telecommunication devices and the transmission of images on those devices that could attract a criminal penalty. So in relation to ACT laws, we don't have specific provisions in relation to use of telecommunication devices in this way because, generally speaking, we've adopted the view that those are covered by Commonwealth law.
The Federal Opposition indicated it would question the Defence Chief at the Senate Estimates hearing next month. Air Chief Marshal Houston said that Defence would cooperate with any such inquiry. An elderly Georgian woman scavenging for scrap copper cable sliced through an optic fibre last week, effectively disabling 90% of all internet bandwidth into and out of neighbouring Armenia. The 75-year-old woman cut through the cable with a spade, and 3 million internet users were left without international connectivity for up to 5 hours. Authorities said the elderly lady faces up to 3 years jail if charged and convicted of criminal damage. While the cable is usually heavily protected, its owners, the Georgian Railway Network, said that landslides or heavy rain may have exposed it to scavengers. Facebook has announced it will share its green secrets with rival companies. Its energy-efficient data center in Oregon is reported to use 38% less power than other existing data centers. Facebook hopes, by sharing its environmentally friendly strategies, that it will reduce the amount of electricity consumed by the internet industry. Called the Open Compute Project, Facebook will release specifications and mechanical drawings of its Oregon data center and the servers inside. The custom-built facility cost $188 million and makes extensive use of outside air for cooling. Environmental groups like Greenpeace, however, say that Facebook could go further to prove its commitment to sustainability. And a 17-year-old Sydney boy has written a public car parking application, which is now the number one top grossing application in the lifestyle category of Apple's iTunes App Store. The simple I Parked Here iPhone app helps users to remember where they park their cars and remind them when the time's almost up on the parking meter. But Brandon Cohen, who's currently studying his HSC, said his $2.49 application was now ranked 31st out of all applications on the Australian store. Young Mr. Cohen said that last year he finished a software design and development course and that I Parked Here had been co-authored with a family friend. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
This is breakfast radio in some parts of the world.
We don't get our updates when the update to Android comes out.
Knowing how your brain works. We've teleported, if you're listening to us, outside of Australia.
Some rural areas still lack the 911 service.
It's hard work and it's competitive and it's good fun too.
Because the old iPad, you just
That's
like,
what the iPad's for.
Speaking of Qantas.
Get off my lawn.
You young'un.
This is the sound of spooling. You don't hear that all that often these days, do you?
What, you shoot yourself in the face.
You shoot yourself in the face.
Speak things in words. Don't say it in sentences. Speak things in words.
La 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 la.
It's all Silverlight and there's design tools and developer tools and all that kind of good stuff.
I usually enjoy your podcast.
Uh-oh. Dr. Ron, have you cyber squatted? Vodafone users discovered that they couldn't make or receive calls.
Touchdown.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Are we ready, everybody?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
One of those nights, really, hasn't it?
We were ready 2 seconds ago, Andrew.
At least.
Excellent.
Seconds to spare.
Plenty of time.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio for yet another show. We're coming to work in the dark now. Did you notice? Did you put your headlights on? I used to like daylight saving, but it's long gone.
It's cold.
It was cold, too. See, Graham, you're not ready. You're swinging your mic around.
No, that's me. You know, I'm responsible.
Oh, was that you, was it?
I got blamed for somebody else's
there you go.
Noises then.
Well, anyway, everyone's here. Those that count at the moment.
Ooh.
Hello.
Ooh.
Hello. Oh.
That's a bit harsh.
Hello, Dr. Ron. Did you have a wonderful weekend, apart from swinging on gantries on CityLink?
I did, yeah. Had a bit of fun on the weekend. And
coaxy moth.
Had my one day off in a row on Sunday, I guess, and did back you? Into it today.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Yes.
Bit of fun. And Lena's in this evening too.
Hello.
Yes, and gaming. Nothing much this week either.
Well, there was a big
I want to hear all about Supernova.
Supernova was good.
Oh, good. All right, we'll find out about that. Graham, 64 are the best coming out tomorrow.
The best what?
Patches, updates.
Oh. Tuesday.
Yes, Patch Tuesday.
Find out about that. I had an incident at work today. A client brought a memory stick in.
Yeah.
It was foul. It was awful. It had nasty things on it.
Nasty things.
And I stuck it into a computer which had Microsoft's Essentials, you know, the Microsoft antivirus thing.
Yeah.
And instantly it said, warning, went red and said, don't do anything else. Do you want me to delete the nastiness on this stick?
Yeah.
I was very impressed with that.
So it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
That's a good review.
It worked. It was a positive, which is very nice.
A real world save. So your machine didn't get infected.
Nah, it was good.
And the content on them, you recovered the content that you needed off the memory stick?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was a Mac person that brought the stick in. Of course, they don't suffer from a lot of those things that the ills that PCs do. So it was. I did say to him, just go and double check other people's machines where you've had this in, but you've been propagating it for a little while. But yeah, no, that was my day to day.
Yeah, very good.
Anyway, Dr. Ron, slow news week, huh?
It was really slow news week. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Well, when you lead the news story with a granny who gets done for. For taking out the internet in two countries.
Yeah, I know.
That was rather funny.
Yeah, Defence Force sex scandals and all that sort of stuff. So I was really scraping the barrel, wasn't I?
Although it's actually pepped up a little bit in the last little bit. So we'll see what happens today.
That's it.
You can come along and join us in the chat room if you'd like. Chat.techtalkradio.
Oh, I knew there was something I forgot to open.
.com.au. See, you were. Everything else was going everywhere this evening. But we made it.
Make it sound like octopi.
Yes. There's a lot of people in the chat this evening. G'day, Warlock. Hello. And Lena, across the bench here, she's in the chat.
Yep. Cisco is awake.
Cisco's still up, yep.
Oh, there are lots of people in the chat.
I did actually get an email from a listener saying, can you fix the web page on the front of the... Because we're an hour out. And the web page suffers from daylight saving. So I did the smoke alarm, I did the clocks, but I forgot the web page. And I will do it very shortly. So
Adam Turner's in and his bit's not even on yet.
Really? That's good. I like it when Adam comes in. I got a text from him just before we went on air, which I read, but I haven't had a chance to respond yet. So, yeah, you can call in, Adam. That's fine. We have telephones here. We can do things like that. It'll be interesting. It'll give Graham something to do tonight in the podcast. But that's good. Coro, Dr. Ron.
There's always correspondence. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is where to send it. Firstly, we've got some follow-ups and some honourable mentions. We have to congratulate Adam Turner, of course, for achieving runner-up at this year's The Lizzie's, the IT Yay. Journalism Awards.
Well done, Adam.
Adam, the runner-up for the best tech product reviewer in Australia, behind Mr. David Brow, of course, of independent journalist of ZDNet fame, amongst others. Now, Adam said in his Twitter stream that it was another great Lizzie's night. Congrats to all the finalists and an honour to be nominated. He also said his Media Watch escapades even got a mention in the opening monologue. Adam, no such thing as bad publicity. So congratulations, everybody here. He's done extremely well yet again. Yay. He was runner-up last year, too.
Excellent. Yes. Well done.
For more information about the Lizzie's, you can go to thelizzies.com if you'd like to see what the IT Journalism Awards are all about. Now, Graham took umbrage during the week with a ranking system that I developed on the forum.
Where did you take it to?
Well, it was taken straight to the horse's mouth, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I
he had a hissy fit.
Well, he hadn't logged onto the forum in about 3 years.
Well,
and the,
I hadn't been as active as I used to be on the forum in the old days. And when I got my Android phone, I went to the forum and I got a lot of information about good apps to put on my phone.
Good.
And found that thread very helpful. So I went and found that, now that I've been an Android user for a little while, I went and found that thread again and added a couple of apps that I'd discovered myself that I liked to the bottom of it. And the forum, for some reason, it called me a technophobe.
Yes, that's your...
Me!
Yes, that's your
rank. Technophobe.
That's your grade.
Because I thought that was a bit rude.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have been an orc.
Yes, I suppose.
You've made one post, Graham. That's the ranking system.
That's the ranking system. The ranking system. I have to post more to be not a... Well, except I
yes, yeah.
I went in and I had a hack in the cheater. Back room area.
He is. He's Anita cheater. You see, you circumvented the usual ranking system.
I did.
Usually, if you get to 10 posts, you become a novice. 25 right. posts, you become a tinkerer. 50 posts is propeller head. 75 is boffin. And 100 or more is what I am.
Oh, okay. And what are you?
Elite hacksaw. And now you've created respected panel member, tech guru, and all-round nice guy. That's not a rank. That's an essay.
I thought he was Rob Oakshot.
He is the Rob. We should change it to. I was actually going to modify the new one you created, Graham, and put brackets the Rob Oakshot of TikTok Radio.
Yeah,
but we're running out of
good.
Screen, running out of computer. Oh, well, that's a bit of fun. Forum.techtalkradio.com.au is where all the show notes are, where Graham has created his own ranking system. Now, correspondence, Andrew. You had voicemail spam during the week.
I did too.
I did exactly the same voicemail
Lena
spam.
Lena came back
before.
With a beautiful one-liner.
It was from Stephen Hawking.
It was. It was one of those automated telephone systems, and it was. It just left a URL in my voicemail.
www.
Yeah, one of those.
Dot.
Like a text-to-speech system, just randomly dialing
yeah,
numbers.
Absolutely.
That's very wrong.
It was very rude. Yeah, I got it as well. I got a voicemail a few days earlier with, I think it was the same recording.
What was the film they were plugging?
I didn't go to it.
Didn't you? No, I didn't either. I just thought, well, how rude is that?
In relation to e-readers, Warlock on the forum recently said, I'm going to get a Kindle for Mum and Dad for Christmas this year. They can read books, buy books, download free books, use the free internets. Yes. They don't have any internet at home and will not pay for it. But if you get it on a device like this for free, there's no excuse. They can Facebook and check email. Plus, I don't have to worry about viruses.
I'm not sure that a Kindle is going to be the ideal device for looking at Facebook.
But it's a good.
I didn't think you could look at Facebook on a Kindle.
You can. It's under a heading called experimental.
Oh, really?
So you have to go to a menu item called experimental, and then you get the web browser and the MP3 player and those things.
Okay.
But
yeah, it wouldn't be the best for looking at photos.
Yeah,
I would have thought.
Well, it's really good at things like, you know, black and white photos, line drawings, those sorts of things actually come up really well on that screen. But anything that causes the screen to change is a bit of an issue because the screen updates are very slow. If you think back to what liquid crystal displays were like when they first came out, and remember how they used to
be... on the old calculators.
And they go on their way from being one thing to another?
Sort of, yes.
This is what the e-ink displays do.
Hmm.
So, good for reading. I'm not sure that it'd be the greatest thing for reading Facebook on.
Warpie added, I've seen a few people using iPads on the train. When the light reflects off the screen, you can't see anything. On the Kindle, the screen is still easily readable.
That's absolutely true, yes. Mm. Yes, you can take it in full sunlight and yep, it's you can read it better than you can in the dark.
I was on the train again last week. I saw more people using them. They're getting more and more popular.
Don't ride the trains in Melbourne at the moment. You'll get mugged.
Well, yeah, why is that?
By ticket inspectors. Apparently, they've got a blitz. Yeah.
For people's wallets.
Oh, look, they'll just go you for anything.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're going to be armed shortly. That's going to be a worry.
Maybe they're antsy for an iPad 2 that's taking ages to get through.
Hey, where is your iPad 2?
Exactly.
Didn't you pre-order?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But you must have ticked iPad 3.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
They said April 27th will be the date that it will ship.
Well, that's a month off.
Yeah. Not happy, Jan.
Oh, well.
There's
that's
people
life.
Who didn't put an order in on launch day and have got them in their hot little hands already.
Yeah,
very
well,
annoying.
That's what happens. Just go down to your local shop and buy one like everybody else does. Stand
I
in the queue.
I don't have any. I'm not queuing. I've got stuff to do.
There's a horse in here.
Georgia in the chat is asking if the Kindle is black and white only, and yes, it is black and white only. The screen protector, she also is just putting a screen protector on the iPad to stop the reflection of the screens.
Yep.
But that's not the whole problem. The problem with the iPad is it's a screen like a computer screen or a television screen that emits light. Light comes out of it, and that's how you see the difference between, you know, light and dark. On a Kindle, it reflects light like paper does. So it's very much like ink on paper type of appearance. So
if we have rocks involved, we can play rock, paper,
yeah,
scissors, can't we?
Imagine a computer screen is actually looks brightest when you're in a dark room, whereas the Kindle is like reading an actual book. It's going to be easiest to read in bright light.
And obviously pretty good on the batteries too. probably go forever and ever and ever.
Very good on the batteries, yes. They do go for a long time, apparently, because they only use power when they're changing the display. When the when the display stays static, it's not using any
power.
Have
you seen one out there in the wild, Graham?
Yeah.
Have you played with one?
Yeah.
Are they good?
I'll let you know.
Okay. Dr. Ron, have you seen one in the wild?
A what?
A Kindle.
Pay attention, Kindle, my friend.
A Kindle's or iPads. So I was reading on the next bit of correspondence. A Kindle? Yeah, I've seen Kindle. That's what I was saying, like on the train and stuff. People, they're everywhere. People are using them.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I discovered that on a Kindle, you do have this issue that I've railed against in the past of things being available differently depending on where you are. So, you know, if your home address is set to somewhere in the US, you can buy books that if your home address is set to Australia, you can't buy.
Oh, yeah, but that's like iTunes.
Even on the Kindle.
We downloaded some movies off iTunes in the United States because we can't get them here in Australia from the Sundance Film Festival.
I think that sort of thing has got to get sorted out. I think that's going to make people very angry in the...
Well, it certainly makes people write applications to remove DRM, Digital Rights Management.
Yep.
So, but you would think that a global release is really where it's at these days, in everything from videos to music to e-books.
Yep, and I mean, you had issues with your... Was it your PlayStation you had registered in the US to get US content? Was it a Sony thing?
I bought it in the US, and I've plugged it all in for Australia, and it works a treat.
Oh, okay.
The only thing it won't do is play Region 4 DVDs, which is our region. But I have a Blu-ray player, and I only use it for gaming, really, and for media-serving things like ABC's iView.
And you don't have any region problems with the Blu-rays?
No, the games are fine. The Blu-rays seem to work beautifully, every Blu-ray I've put in it. But I've got, as I say, I've got a Blu-ray player, so I don't tend to use the PS3 for doing that. So.
I discovered with the Kindle, you can actually just give it something that looks vaguely believable as a US address, and it just believes you.
Oh, okay. Unlike when you're trying to cheat the iTunes system, you've got to have a credit card or a bank account in the US. You can't give it an address to these things.
No, with Amazon, you just say that your home address is, you know, somewhere in Springfield or whatever, and
Springfield 90210. And you look up
the right. No, that wasn't Springfield.
No,
Beverly Hills. And you get a valid address for somewhere in the US. Yeah. And
one Infinity Loop Cupertino. Put that one down.
Well, I suppose, yeah. That'd
be a good one, wouldn't it?
It'd be a valid address.
Yeah.
And because it ships over the internet anyway, then they don't seem to care.
Yeah.
Did you say Infinity Loop?
Infinite. Sorry.
Oops.
Oops.
Garbage band.
That's right.
Shall I pull us out of this dive?
Absolutely.
Last week, Cisco asked for help reconverting a Flash or .flv video to MPEG format.
Oh, we were doing that today in the office.
VLC. Cisco got lots of good feedback, he says. Yeah. As it happens, I will be able to use each of your suggestions at differing points in time, depending on my resources. Thank you again. The help was greatly appreciated.
So just cut, for those who weren't listening last week, what happened? Cisco said he needed to convert.
He needed to convert. He wanted help converting Flash or .flv video files to MPEG format.
In VLC.
And he wanted to do it in VLC or using a VLC
And you can't do it in VLC, can you?
You can. And there is a forum thread regarding this, if you're interested.
I am.
And where people have been contributing. So
I have to convert Flash to MOV today, the office. That was
Flash
exciting.
To MOV. MOV is the Apple movie format.
Yeah, it is, because I needed to bring it into an edit suite so that someone who'd done something in Flash thinking they'd do it cheaply ended up doing it through. We have to bring it into the Avid anyway. But anyway, another story. Won't go into that.
GD via the Tech Talk Radio feedback form
our
says...
Moderator. Is he on there? Yes, there he is.
Yeah, GD's there tonight.
Shields are up.
GD for always doing the moderating. That's
very good. You've got a shield too, Dr. Ron, I noticed.
I do. I've got shields up. Yes.
It's defensive mode.
You betcha. Has to be. This day and age, I tell you. GD's just sent us a URL, pretty much. www.youtube.com/live. Do you know YouTube are starting live streaming?
Yeah.
You know what we've been doing with Ustream for the last 3 or 4 years?
Why didn't you listen to the opening of the program?
YouTube, yeah, I did. YouTube's on board now. They've been trialing
it.
Yeah.
He was just walking in the door at the time.
That's right. YouTube's been trialing it for a while. Is that right, Andrew?
They're seeking content creation. They're actually going to get into the becoming their own broadcaster, which make for very interesting geographical things.
My question is, can anyone start streaming live through YouTube?
Nah.
Right, you have to.
I don't believe so, because it's for them.
Ah, so they're going to pick and choose who they have streaming live.
Yeah, they're going to, yes, they're actually spending quite a bit of money on content creation. sporting wise and otherwise, and they're going to develop their own channel so they can compete with the likes of Hulu.
Gerard via the feedback form says, hi team.
Team.
Either TikTok Radio has shifted to a 7 p.m. time slot, or there's a bug in your countdown timer.
Yeah, sorry about that. I mentioned that earlier.
You did. We'll get that fixed, Gerard. Daylight savings changes are hard to get right, even for the big guys, and us as well, too. So
I did the smoke alarm, I did the clocks, but I forgot the TikTok Radio website.
It's always something you forget. And that is most of the correspondence. I wanted Lena to tell us about Supernova.
Ah, yes, it was good.
What is Supernova?
It's a pop culture festival that's held every year in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney. I think there might be a Perth one, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Was it held?
Sorry, this weekend.
This weekend just gone?
Saturday and Sunday, yep. Yesterday and the day before. And
where was it?
At Melbourne Showgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where a whole bunch of nerds get together and talk about games, comics, anime, fiction, all those sorts of things, and a whole bunch of celebrities from, say, Battlestar Galactica.
So sci-fi shows, movies.
Yeah,
and
sci-fi and everything, and movies, yep. A whole bunch of celebrities come over. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost came over to promote their new film, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And you could line up and get things signed by them and get your photo taken with them and all these sorts of things.
And Glory was there.
Yes, and Charisma Carpenter from Buffy was there.
Oh, and Buffy so fans rejoice.
You should have gone, Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next
it
year.
Was good.
Is it at? Is
I'm
it
not
one
a big Charisma Carpenter fan, I have to say. But
oh, I am.
Is there one in each capital city each year, or does it rotate through?
There's usually, one in each year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just looking at the website here, the Brisbane and Melbourne ones have just been recently. Later in the year, there are events in Sydney and Perth and Brisbane.
Brisbane again. Brisbane get two?
The Brisbane November 4 to 6, it says here. Oh,
did the first one get washed out?
No, it was a big hit.
Okay.
They have a cosplay competition as well, which I always
cosplay.
Watch. Yeah. It's cosplayers costume play.
Oh.
And it's where people dress up as their favorite things. And
like a stormtrooper or
Or
Catwoman.
Or Slave Leia or Catwoman. There was lots of Slave Leias going around. and you know what I mean when I say
that's
Slave Leia.
That's Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi. Yeah,
do you have to be
dressed as a slave?
Do you have to be 18 plus to get into these events?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, just checking there.
There's no size restrictions either, interesting.
Right.
But
oh, no.
But it's good. And I love seeing the cosplay competition because some people take it so seriously and the attention to detail is amazing. Really, really amazing to watch.
So Brizzy get two, do they? They're lucky.
They must, yeah.
Go for it, Switch listeners. Make sure someone goes along. Let us know what it's like. That'd be fun,
it's good.
It?
I got a bit of footage there too for MMGN.com, so I'll be able to post the video up on my various social networks.
Oh, very good.
To show everyone my fun time that I had there. So that'll be good.
Okay.
I'm impressed.
Are you? Why? Why are you impressed?
Because we had a representative of Tech Talk Radio at Supernova. It's good. It's very good. Supernova.com.au for more details if you're interested.
Yeah, it was fun.
Is that it for the Coro? Have you got more?
No, that'll do us. It'll do us.
Actually, Georgia sent us an email during the course of the week thanking us for the headset because she was the last winner.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, Georgia's in our chat room tonight as well.
Yep. Headset. She's been checking it out. Seems to work. It's going to be good. Especially if you've got an iPhone.
She said the quality was very good.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. You pick yourself one of those up if you're looking for an early Easter present or any excuse to buy those sort of things, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to continue with App of the Week each week, as we do with website, gadget, Oddspot.
We're out of prizes, though.
We're just running out of prizes for
someone
now.
If someone wants to send in some prizes, we'll give them away. We're good at that.
Yes, we are.
All right. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb, Dr. Ron's in, Graham's in. The girl in the green top down here. It's a very nice green top. What have you got on your T-shirt tonight there,
It's a one-up mushroom for Mario, and it says
Life of the Party
since 1985.
Oh, wow.
And I got it because the one-up mushroom is sort of my thing. And I was born in 1985. Don't
oh, goodness.
All cringe at once.
I'm just trying to think. That looks like, it's the game thingy me, Bob.
The one-up mushroom that gives
it's
you
an 8-pixel by 8-pixel mushroom.
Yep.
Yeah, it is pixelated, isn't it? I'll definitely grant you that.
Mm.
And your top's very coordinated tonight. Everything's green.
Why, thank you.
That's good. In the leprechaun state. But it's not St. Patrick's Day.
I'm not feeling so sick now. So I'm putting a bit more effort in.
Oh, very good.
As opposed to just sliding in here on the floor.
Yeah, well, we're meaning to talk to you about your appearance and the last few weeks.
Dr. Ron.
Didn't want to say anything.
Around the world, you're listening to Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio.
You are indeed. This is Tech Talk Radio. Lena, we've gone through the fashion statements now. Dr. Ron, you've got a regular. No, yours is boring, and Graham's gone.
Oh, thanks very much.
Graham's
I don't have any writing on my.
You're on gingham tonight. No, it's not.
No,
it needs to be red and white. Similar sort of stripey hash. I'm just wearing a black T-shirt.
I've got a URL on mine.
You do?
It's got to count for something.
Absolutely. It's like the T-shirt you wore last week.
What did I wear last
week? Rock, scissors, paper, Spock.
Lizard Spock.
Yeah, that's the one. Senator Conroy doesn't wear T-shirts like that. But nonetheless, the Communications Minister, Stephen Conroy, has released a statement to the ABC that he fears the National Broadband Network could be cherry-picking by Telstra, predated the $36 billion contract that they've got out. Now, this is all starting to sort of surface in the media today, but there was a lot of shenanigans going on pre the Telstra deal. So Conroy claims that's going to be aired tonight. But according to the ABC, the program will reveal the alleged reasons Labor scrapped its NBN1 proposal. Now, do you remember the first one?
Yeah.
Fibre to the node. Fibre to the little box in the street. Well, anyway, the reason that that was scrapped is that it would have used Telstra's copper network for the last mile.
Yep.
Now, according to the ABC...
Giving them too much power.
Yes, and Telstra could have come back and gazumped them because the money and the penalty that they would have paid could have gone back into competing with the NBN.
Yes.
Very, very interesting times, really.
But the legislation was going to be such that no one was allowed to compete with the NBN.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, but the penalties might have been
the government could
less
have,
than what they'd generate in revenue by competing.
That's right. See, the government could have spent $15 billion to build the fibre to the node network, then paid another $15 to $20 billion to Telstra for compensation. Telstra could have used that money and built a fibre to the home network, passed them in the street, and undercut them.
Pay the fine and still $5 billion ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's like what these government organisations do. They tend to impose fines, which sound quite hefty, but in the whole scheme of things, it's tis but a flesh wound to a lot of these telcos and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see where that all unfolds, but I guess that's why we've... Because I remember that. It sort of fibre to the node disappeared, sort of fell off the radar and became fibre to the house, and no one really came out and said why, but now that's obviously the reason why.
That's the reason why. NBN Co Communications joined Whirlpool Forums the other day.
Oh, really? Now, that? Whirlpool is the...
It's broadband forums.
And everything else. They talk about phones and stuff like that.
Everything.
And internet.
They
yeah.
do, but it's primarily created as a forum for broadband users.
Extraordinarily popular.
And what have they been broadcasting up there on their broadband forum?
Well, they've only got four posts so far.
Made four posts, or is this in it? Yeah.
And basically, two of them have been copy and paste press releases, and two of them have been kind of... nothing posts, but responding to things people have said, but not with a great deal of useful content.
Did they post some lolcats?
No, they haven't posted any lolcats yet that I've seen. But it is encouraging, I think, that they've joined and are going to participate in the community of broadband users and perhaps try and provide some information.
Hmm.
So,
well, it's good that they've got a presence.
Yet to be seen whether it's going to be a very useful presence or not.
I wonder if it's a one-way street or a two-way street for these guys.
Well, it did seem to me that at least they were reading the comments.
Yeah.
Even though the replies... Let me see if I can bring up an example here.
Well, while you do that, I'll just mention briefly that the NBN Co. has revealed a list of 12 ISPs and wholesale aggregators to service residential and businesses in the mainland first release sites. Obviously, they're going to plug it in and turn it on for some lucky people fairly shortly. But it's just the usual suspects. There's nothing exciting. You know, it's just, you know, the Telstras of the world, AAPT, Exatel, NextGen, Platforms. A couple of other ones which I hadn't really heard of, Comcentre and SkyMesh. SkyMesh is a good name. But they're looking to...
Not Skynet.
No, SkyMesh. No. So obviously they're getting ready to actually start plugging it in. And I guess some of the newer states are probably going to come online with it first, because if it's fibre to the house, then you plug it in, turn it on, and you get really good broadband for a reasonable price, hopefully, so to speak. How'd you go, Graham? Did you find it?
Yeah, an example of their participation on Whirlpool, there's a user started a thread about a press report that he'd read that NBN Co. had announced their first 12 ISPs that they'd signed up.
Oh, what I was just talking about.
That you, yeah.
Yes.
And NBN comms have come down a bit later on and commented on that and put the full press release about that on the... you know, as a post. Someone's made the comment, welcome to Whirlpool, will this be an official NBNCo account?
Yeah.
To which they've responded further down, indeed it will be, along with their Twitter channel and their YouTube channel.
Oh, excellent.
And so they've provided links. So they have actually read and responded to what's
that's
going
good.
On.
So it's a two-way channel at this stage, in these early formative stages.
Because the last thing you need is like a propaganda broadcast channel where they just don't read anything and it's not two-way. Because two-way, that's good.
So Telstra learned that the hard way with Twitter. Remember what Lid got stuck into him? Speaking of Telstra, you had an interesting altercation with Twitter on Telstra the other day, didn't you?
Look, the guys, I did. Do you want to go on or do you want to talk about that?
I think we got to the end of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Off you go.
Well, keep an eye on Whirlpool because that's very good. It's a good indication of things to come. Or Whingepool, as
Whingepool.
Who was it on the forum? I just said that. Someone there, Andrew M. on the forum. Telstra, yes, I did have an interesting experience with them. The guys on Twitter that monitor the Telstra accounts are very, very helpful. That they
more so than I found ringing them up.
Heaps more. I mean, if they can achieve something via Twitter for you, they will do it and they will go out of their way to do it so that you don't have to sit on hold to one of the call centre numbers. Unfortunately, look, I was faced with a situation where I wanted to do some cabling, some work as a licensed cabler, and I needed something very technical and very specific to be done at a customer's premises. And there used to be a department within Telstra, and if anyone knows what this, you know, this department, what it's called now, the contact details, please let me know. It used to be called the Vendor Services Centre.
Oh, so you could talk the talk with these guys without having to.
You could talk the talk, right? It's not that you wanted to ring up because your phone was faulty and you've unplugged your fax machines and charged your cordless phone.
Did you take your cordless phone off?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. This is a very specific technical fault that I had, and I knew how to describe it in telecoms terms, and I wanted Telstra to fix it. What I wanted to say was, there's a new service connected to this premises. I've checked on the distribution frame. The service isn't there. I want Telstra to come on site and tag it so I can then...
Is it like in Facebook where you get tagged?
No, it's total. This is long before Facebook, this sort of tagging. This is real tagging. And I wanted them to tag it so I could connect it to a socket on the customer's premises. So it's fairly straightforward to explain to a telecoms person. But trying to explain that to a customer service representative on the end of the residential inquiries number, the 1322, whatever it is.
Well, maybe someone will know the answer to your dilemma and they can let you know.
It's infuriating. Like, I was on the phone for 30 minutes trying to explain to this man. He's saying, how many sockets have you got there? Have you unplugged your fax machines? Are you using a cordless phone? I said, look, forget about sockets.
He just went
down the list. There are no sockets. There is no cordless phone. There is no fax machine. I've ordered a new service, or a new service has been ordered for this account holder. I want Telstra to come on site.
Did you say there was no socket?
Yeah, and that confused him. He said, there's a new service being connected. There's no socket. I said, look, that number is fine for somebody who has a standard run-of-the-mill everyday fault with their home phone line. But what people who work in the industry is a service centre where you can ring up, explain to them in telecoms language what is wrong with a specific fault, and they can fix it or address it fairly fast. But if anybody knows if there is a vendor services centre that still exists, it used to be around like years and years and years ago.
There'd have to be something like that,
wouldn't
there?
There's got to be. I can't believe that cablers every day, you know, have to ring that 1-3 number to try and get
it's
their...
probably been outsourced by now.
But the vendor services centre used to be one of the most helpful, productive, useful contact points within Telstra that there ever was.
Mm. Well, no way that could survive then.
Well, I hope that it has, and Graham. It's now under a different name, and there's a different contact number for it. But
yeah, it's cool.
Anyway, look, we got it fixed in the end. I just had to spend half an hour on my mobile phone to the 1-3 number. Eventually, I convinced them to come out.
Really?
The guy came out, and he looked at it, and he went, oh, you mean to do this? You need me to do this? I said, yep, pretty much. He goes, oh, okay, bang, bang. There you go. Anything else to help you with? No, that's all.
Look, life's set to be challenging. And for people who know how to speak the speak, it can be very frustrating at times.
Yes.
All right, Graham, one for you. Record 64 flaws to be fixed on Patch Tuesday. This is Microsoft. Now, all operating systems are subject to people finding, the word is exploits, but they're little back doors that you can get in and do things with which can be considered malicious. You know, it's like securing your house, isn't it? You know, people can get in through the roof if you don't secure the roof.
Big Jan is malicious.
And every now and then someone...
Tall Jan is malicious.
Every now and then... when you're quite done, every now and then somebody will figure out a new way to get around the security measures. So someone will discover that you can open up a certain type of lock with a specially designed key.
Yes.
And these sorts of things happen in the software world as well.
And games.
And games, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I know
games, it may surprise you to learn, are generally software.
And anyway, have you noticed too? Oh dear.
I had a big weekend. You two can take it outside. I had a big weekend.
Yes, Microsoft have issuing security updates to fix 74 vulnerabilities, including a month-old MHTML flaw for web gurus. One of the 17 patches, I beg your pardon, of the 17 patches, 9 are rated critical and 8 are important, according to Microsoft. So what that means is that when you turn your computer on Wednesday morning, chances are you'll have a little icon down the bottom of the thing saying that you've got updates to install. Isn't that right, Graham?
Yep, or it might you might not notice it until you go to shut down. It'll say, instead of turn off your computer, it'll say install updates and turn off.
Yes.
Install updates and shut down. I can't remember what
it is. But 64 is quite a bit, I would have thought. So good luck to them.
It does sound like one of the bigger ones in recent memory, but yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be a reboot involved, so watch out, everyone running servers. Yeah. It'll probably want to do that. But the same happens for the others. I think Apple have theirs from time to time. And obviously, the mobile providers too. I think Dave Glover, who was in the other day from Microsoft after he was on the show last week, said that they'd done some patch updates on the Telstra network for Windows. Don't quote me on this, but I think I saw some tweet come through along those lines. So check your updates for Phone 7.
Windows Phone 7,
if you're on the Telstra network.
Yeah.
So obviously done their back-end testing and whatever they need to do.
Yeah, they were struggling with their procedures for how to roll those out with the approval of the... Because a couple of extra parties involved in that situation. You've got not only the phone user and Microsoft who've written the software, but you've also, in between that, you've got the manufacturer of the handset involved and the network that it's connected to involved. So it gets a bit complicated.
A bit tricky, isn't it, at times?
Yeah.
So those fixes, what operating systems are they for, Andrew?
Oh, you name it. Range, you name it, a bit of everything. Even Office is in there. So we've got Server 2008, Windows 7, Excel 2003 through to 2010, PowerPoint 2002 through to 2010. Aren't you glad you asked?
That's probably so it's a whole mishmash. You might have less than that are applied to your machine if you're not running all that stuff.
The bottom line is it's Windows, Office, Internet Explorer, Visual Studio, and a few other smaller patches that are going out along the way.
But it's a big payload, isn't it?
Yeah, well, do your updates, because then it's safe and secure and you can get out there and surf and know that those little holes of...
absolutely.
Someone stuck their finger in the dike. And
it's much safer to do the updates than to not do the updates.
Mm. All right, and in other news, you remember how last week, or might have been the week before, it goes very quickly these days, we were talking about how Germans could have, in Street View on Google,
the Germans,
they could have their building pixelated.
Yes.
And other things pixelated.
You could opt out of having your premises appear on Google Earth.
Correct. Well, Google has opted out of Germany now.
Or has Germany opted out of Google?
No. Google has opted out of Germany.
Okay, so they've taken their bat and ball.
Basically, they've stopped their Street View photography in Germany.
Yep.
In most locations, Google sends its Street View cars out, as you know, to take those great little things, which we all probably rely on now. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going out to see someone and I haven't been there before, I jump onto Street View and just have a snoop in the street to see what it looks like, to get my bearings.
Yep.
And I find that a very useful service.
I can understand that, yeah.
Except you could see why they'd stop it, though, because people were retaliating and being nasty about it.
Oh, they were. They were throwing eggs. No, they weren't. They were actually sticking stickers on people's doors, I think, and saying that Google is good. Because I think it was quite a – I don't have the documentation in front of me, but there was considerable amount of people that were opting out.
250,000, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Mm. And, of course, you look around Google Germany and it'd be
pixelated.
But how
can you opt out of being on a street?
How can you opt out? You just get pixelated.
Yeah, but it's insane. I mean,
it is. Number plates and buildings got pixelated out.
Damo the Geek in our chat room says Germany is now called Blermany.
Oh, dear. Anyway, despite the recent German court ruling that declared photography from the streets legal in Germany, Google has stopped Street View photography and says it has no plans to launch a new imagery on the Street View in Germany. Their business priority is to use Google Cars to collect data such as street names and roadmaps to improve basic maps for the users in a similar way other mapping companies do.
So, okay, so I've still got the maps, still got Google Maps there.
Still maps.
But the Street View type photography is being withdrawn.
Even though taking a photograph from a public street is perfectly legitimate and perfectly legal.
Google will continue to show its existing Street View photos for the 20 German cities that are now currently online, but there won't be any updates to those photos.
I think if I was Google, I would have pulled them too. In fact, I think I would have just deleted Germany from Google Earth in its entirety.
Well, that would have been a fairly radical approach, Graham.
Big black shape on the Earth where Germany used to be.
What, scorched Earth policy?
No, just no image.
No?
Okay. No image.
They could have blurred it all out.
Mm.
It'll become, we'll get into a lot of trouble going down this path, so I think we should move on.
It'll become like a streetscape time machine, won't it? If what is there now and doesn't change, isn't updated.
Well, I just think it's... Yes. And it's just crazy that they should apply such extreme restrictions to Google for something that if anyone else did, it would be legal.
Well, yes. Anyway, Google, as I said, will continue to show the existing stuff, but it's unclear if the decision is final or if the company might change its plans in the future. I would have thought they probably wouldn't close the door on it completely.
Google review decisions from time to time, as we've seen.
Yeah, they'll have a change in leadership at that particular, whoever's in charge of Street Views or whoever the person is, and they might move on and do other things. So, anyway, you never know your luck in a big city, not to mention Germany.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Ron...
The Google Earth photos for around here have been updated really high res.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't looked of late.
Yeah.
Better than Nearmap?
I haven't... Oh, no, probably not, but Nearmap is taken with aerial photographs, isn't it?
It is. Nearmap.com is really cool.
Okay.
But, it is good.
But you're right, though, Graham. They do update them fairly regularly, don't they?
Yeah. So, the ones around my place and your place are updated. I think for a large area of the East of Melbourne, I assume it's been updated.
All right. Now, just before we go to the break... Because I couldn't resist this was absolutely hilarious. But a granny took down the web in two countries. Now, you led with this in the news, Dr. Ron. I thought, is he for real? But no, apparently not. 75-year-old scrap metal scavenger, because that's what you do when you're out doing what you do, managed to take two countries offline when she hacked with her spade through a fiber cable in, how do you pronounce this?
In Georgia.
Caucasus, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. While hunting for sealable loot, the woman went through the main pipe, providing connectivity for Georgia and Armenia.
And Armenia. 90% of all internet traffic in and out of Armenia was cut for about 7 hours or something. Five hours.
What I want to know is how they found her so quick. Was she digging up the copper? I'm assuming it was copper. It might have been fiber.
It was.
Maybe she was
presumably looking for copper that's easily...
Hopefully she doesn't do our railway lines over here. That'd be terrible.
Well, people do, and people have taken out the suburban train network by doing this.
So she was a copper fiend. Was she out there looking for...
That was the version I heard.
Yeah.
That's the version I heard. Apparently the cable, though, that section of the cable was on property which was maintained by the Georgian Railway Network, and they said that usually... The cable is a long way underground and heavily protected and well-maintained, but that recent landslides or heavy rain may have exposed the cable or made it more vulnerable to people tapping around with their spade.
Because copper's worth quite a bit these days, isn't it?
It's got good scrap value, and I think that's why...
Because it goes back to making all the electronic semiconductors, which come back to us in componentry for... players and recorders and gadgets and phones and stuff.
Well, look, copper has very good second-hand or scrap value. I don't know about optic fibre, though. How much copper is in optic fibre?
That's a good question. There's probably a sheath around it, and there's probably some power that goes along with it to power repeaters and so on. So there might be some copper associated with it, but obviously the fibre itself is glass.
Mm.
I've never seen it. It's just that big blue cable that they pick off the back of trucks and run down streets and things like that.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one. So,
and little men sit on little stools at the end of streets with something that looks like a magnifying glass. Well, actually, they run into the back of a truck, don't they?
They do, and they set themselves up on their little stool in the back of the truck.
They splice it and do whatever it is that they do in those sort of things.
They do. They splice away.
Do you reckon it's hard to do that? I've never...
Fibre splicing?
Yeah.
You can... It's
a precise thing, I would have thought.
Yeah,
otherwise,
it's a skill like any other trade. You can go and learn how to do it at university or RMIT or...
It's like the little pipe that comes out of the back of your light pipes that come out of the back of your home cinema stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't seat
exactly
that,
like that.
If you don't seat it properly, it doesn't work.
Mm.
I wonder if they can do tests on it. I guess they can. Like, you know, they can say, oh, the problem with your copper is that at 3.2 kilometres down the street, it's open circuit or something.
That's exactly what they can do, and I'm sure that's how they found out where this fault was fairly fast.
Without a doubt.
They sent in the SWAT team, did they? Found some granny there with a shovel ripping out cable.
Well, they would have sent in a repair team fairly fast, I would imagine.
Would have been, yeah. I wonder how long it took them to get them back on air, anyway.
5 hours, the outage, according to the Guardian in the UK.
Okay, so they can only access local servers, things that were in Armenia,
things that were internal.
Georgia
stuff
like that.
Yep, they got cut off from the outside world.
Oh, that would have raised suspicions and thoughts, knowing a lot of those sort of areas.
Authorities said that the elderly lady faces up to 3 years jail if she is charged and convicted of criminal offences.
Oh, goodness me. All right, and in other things, Steve Jobs, the CEO of the big company otherwise known as Apple, at One Infinity Loop.
Is he writing a book or something? Is that right?
No. He's actually authorized his biography coming up fairly shortly. He's trusted in one man.
Authored it or authorized it?
Authorized it. Simon and Schuster. Yes, that's right. Simon and Schuster announced Sunday that Walter Isaac's iSteve, the book of Steve Jobs, will be published in early 2012. Isaacson has been working on the long-rumoured biography since 2009 and has interviewed Mr. Jobs, members of his family, colleagues at Apple, and competitors. So there you go. That'll be a very interesting read, because if you've ever read Icon, which is a book I read over Christmas, it's about the rise and rise of Mr. Jobs since his early days with Steve Wozniak.
So this new one's called iSteve.
iSteve.
Okay.
The Book of Jobs.
The Book of Jobs.
That's what it's called.
A very biblical.
iSteve. Well, yes. A man who has had such an a profound impact on technology that we have today. You know, I just look at Lena here at the end of the bench. She's such a Mac girl.
Mm. What's your pulling iPad out of her hat?
I'm a bit embarrassed now.
That's an iPad 1.
It is.
You...
When Andrew walked into the studio before,
she was using it as a mouse pad. It was the best kind of thing, really.
Using the iPad as a mouse pad with an Apple mouse on my MacBook with my iPhone next to me. It's a bit tragic.
You have nothing here which does not have an Apple on it.
That's the way I like it.
Apple mouses, yeah. Apple MacBook Pros, Apple iPads.
Yep.
It is. It's good. Tragic. It's a good brand. Are you going to get the magnetic thingamy bob for
I've got it.
For
it's
the cover?
Arrived already. The smart cover arrived.
Oh, you've got that already, have you?
3 days after.
So you've been sitting in the kitchen playing origami with it and seeing what shapes you can make with it without having an iPad?
I did fold it a little bit, but I'm worried about scratching it because it's leather.
You got a leather one, did you? Because there's seven leather ones and seven vinyl ones.
Is there seven leather ones? I thought it was only like four.
Oh, it could be. You could be right. I haven't paid that much attention. I thought there was a balance, but obviously not.
No, I think there's only a few leather ones. I got a dark blue leather one that's very, very, very dark.
Really?
It'll get lighter as I go on.
How much are they? Are they expensive?
They're about $80.
Oh, that's not too bad then, really, is it?
No. Well, it you can open just one little section at the end and it'll wake it up from sleep, and you can do... It's not just a cover, it's a stand as well, and it's... Yeah, I fell in love with it when I first saw that little video. I thought that's fantastic use of coverage.
Oh, very good.
Cisco in our chat room wants to know if you still have the Yoshi sticker.
On my MacBook.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yep. He's there.
Yeah, he's eating back there.
He's eating the apple.
Eating the apple and doing all those sort of things that little Yoshis do and stuff like that. Yep. So, all right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb, Dr. Ron, Graham, Lena in this evening. You can come and play with us if you like. We're in the chat. A lot of other people are there too, including who else was there that I saw?
Smoke Salmon.
Damo the Greek.
Damo the Greek. Yeah. Darren there in the UK.
Georgia.
Hey, who's this guy, Adam Turner? We'll be playing him after the break.
Yes.
We might try and get him on the phone.
Let's get him on the Dog and Bone.
That'll be fun. See if I can remember how to use that.
Well, he's got the dirt, the lowdown on the stuff that was in the news today about the Optus, the femtocells that they're trialling.
That'd be good. All right. Mm. We'll see if we can get him on the phone and find out what's going on. And we'll be back after this.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOSS as well?
Steve Wozniak, the traitor.
I'm down to four cables again, not 14,000.
Go away.
Click here to upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, you are indeed. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tech Talk Radio. Lena's typing at the office. She's just joined the chat in her with her iPad. In her iPad.
Not mine. My husband's.
V1. It's yours. It's not yours.
No, it's my husband's. Mine's not here.
Who gets custody of the two when it arrives?
Mine, because that's mine. Oh, he doesn't get mine. To touch mine.
Reminds me of that seagull thing in Nemo.
Mine.
His iPad 2 pops up. Everyone can fight about it.
Yeah, but he'll lose, though.
Really? You're going to get an iPhone 5?
Probably.
Yeah. That's due out shortly.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, every 12-month cycle for Apple, isn't it?
No.
I can't keep up.
It won't be that much of a change, I think.
Won't it?
The change from 3GS, from 3 to 3GS wasn't that big.
Oh, yeah.
So the change from...
Oh, yeah. That's what they all say.
And the change from iPad 1 to iPad 2 wasn't that big. Yeah. But iPhone... there'll be another iPhone between 4 and 5, I reckon.
Okay. Good. 3D television's coming. Well, if James Cameron has his
3D television's here.
Yeah, no, but it's here but not broadcast. But James Cameron is doing a keynote at NAB, which is where I was this time last year, which is the National Association of Broadcasters in Las Vegas. And he's, you know how he pioneered with Avatar, the Blue Monkeys?
Yes.
All forms of three-dimensionality.
Blue Monkeys, what were they? The Na'vi
or something?
Na'vi.
Na'vi. Na'vi. Yeah. Anyway, he's going to be standing up in front of lots and lots of very interested people to hear what his thoughts are on actually getting a 3D signal from the broadcaster to the TV set. I don't know. I don't think it'll ever take off. I think it's games. Give us 3D games.
It's novelty value.
Lena was saying it was good with the little DS thing the other day. That was good.
The 3DS, yeah. It's all right.
I think the games would be good, but everything else is, yeah.
What was that June Buggy game I was playing, Lena? You've got a good head for games.
MotorStorm Apocalypse?
That's the one. Thank you.
That's all right.
MotorStorm Apocalypse. She has got a good, 3D.
We should get her to talk about games.
We should get her on talk about games.
Anyway, Adam Turner is our regular correspondent. Comes in view from the couch each and every other week. And they're coming in thick and fast at the moment because he's finding himself spending lots of late nights in hotel rooms around the countryside.
And Lizzie Awards runner-up for Best Tech Product Reviewer in Australia.
Do you get a gong for Lizzie or just to get an honourable mention?
I think he gets an honourable runner-up mention.
Oh, that's good. Well, he's a bit of a legend in our life.
He's no mean feat, though.
In our show, because each week he comes up with an absolute pearler, and this week is no different. He talks the talk and walks the walk, and this week he caught up with some people from Acer. Have you got anything Acer? I've got my PC.
Acer. I had an Acer Travel Mate for years. Acer laptop? Yeah.
I think the Acers are EEPCs, aren't they?
Mrs. Dr. Ron has got an Acer... No, an EEE is a... Asus.
No, it is. Oh, yeah, it is Asus. I beg your pardon. No, I don't have an Acer.
Mrs. Dr. On's got an Acer Aspire 1 netbook.
Oh, okay. So happy with it?
Yeah, very. We have Acer in our life.
Yeah, good. And LG have got 3D TV living room things coming up. They've got a big launch this week, I think, in Sydney. Which
yes, they do.
New television living room things. But anyway, we'll probably find out more about that. Adam might be able to give us a bit of an insight into it too. You never know. Anyway, this week's View from the Couch.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
So we've taken the View from the Couch on the road again this week. I'm at an Acer product launch, and I'm talking to David New, who's the Acer product manager for smart handheld devices. David, do you want to give me a bit of a feel for the kind of things that you're launching here today?
Today we're proudly launching our Iconia product range, and the Iconia experience is all about touch. What Acer is looking at is a complete solution, a full-touch dual-screen notebook, a Android Honeycomb-based tablet, and also the Windows Touch-based tablet.
Now, you specialize in the Android department. Can you tell me a bit more about this tablet? It runs Honeycomb, is that right?
Yes, it utilizes the latest effort from Google, the Android Honeycomb, so it's a dedicated operating system for the tablet experience. So addresses a few things that it supports the larger screen format, supports a multiple touch, and on our device it's up to 10-point touch, emphasizes on the whole web-centric device, so the browser supported on this device is the closest thing to a desktop or a notebook browser, supports tab browsing, supports the whole flash experience. On top of that, the full experience on Google App Market, that you have the flexibility of installing apps at a very affordable price to extend your features or your experience on the tablet.
So there are Wi-Fi only and Wi-Fi 3G versions. Is it likely that we'll see the 3G version sold by telcos on a plan, or will you just buy them outright from a store?
Actually, the 3G version will be available both through retail outright as well as telco channel. Look, I mean, all our 3G models, they're quad band, so it will be supporting all the network across Australia.
So the first tablet that you've got here is the A500, is that right? The first Android tablet, and that's a 10.1-inch device?
Exactly. The A500 is the Wi-Fi-only version with a standard 16 or 32-gig storage option. There is an A501, which is the model that's with the 3G capability.
And will we see different form factors, perhaps smaller models in the future with smaller screens?
For the tablet front, it's a complete solution. We have 10-inch and we have 7-inch. Both variations will have the Wi-Fi only or the Wi-Fi plus 3G solution. And also, speaking of smartphone, we have our Iconia Smart S300, which is also introduced in this event. That's a 5-inch, we call it a super phone. So it's kind of a hybrid between a smartphone and a tablet.
Okay, so that sounds a little bit like the Dell Streak. It's one of those in-between devices. Who would you see using one of them? As you say, it's a little bit big to be considered a smartphone, perhaps a little bit small to be a tablet. Where do you see it fitting into the big picture?
Obviously, for the a larger size smartphone, we incorporate the greatest performance on these devices, and we would like to see the early adopters being pioneer to use this. Comparing to, I guess, the existing Dell Streak, there is a lot of refined design on the size, on the screen, on the resolution, on features that we incorporate in this device. We look at this device being a complete revolution from the existing 5-inch or the larger sized smartphones.
So you definitely think there's a market for that in-between device?
Most definitely. People will be looking at a device that comes with them all the time to be able to achieve different tasks or more features incorporated into this device. Certain people do like the form factor of a tablet. Certain people don't have that capacity. So obviously the different form factors covers different needs, different requirements, different usage patterns, even, you know, cover different usage location, even different means of travel.
So could you see someone buying one of these instead of buying a tablet?
Most definitely. That's why there is a product, there is a demand, and we've created this product to address this demand.
So it's sort of for the person who perhaps wants a smartphone and a tablet but doesn't want to carry both around. So it's that in-between device that offers the best of both?
Exactly.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
There you go. New up-and-coming gadgets. We need more to play with, don't we, Aslina? Still going on the... You've worked out how to use that thing yet? That
the iPad
thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's very intuitive.
That's good. Would you recommend it to anyone?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, good. I'm pleased to hear that.
They should give them out.
Yeah?
When people are born, their parents get an iPad or something.
Well...
So it's always in their life.
You get that when you buy a house, I think, these days, with some manufacturers. They give you your plans on an iPad or something. Makes you feel very loved.
Hmm.
Anyway... Joining us on the phone right now, all things going according to plan and technology working.
Oh, what could possibly go wrong?
I don't know. Graham's looking at all sorts of things as we speak. Caminato, are you there?
Hello, London.
Yeah, we're working on delay.
Tune in Tokyo.
Yeah, hello.
How you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Oh, you're very soft, but that's all right. We'll deal with it.
Ron, I just swapped emails with the head of Telstra PR. And he's going to chase up the vendor services centre and let me know.
Oh, Edo, you've done extraordinarily well. Thank you for that. They just couldn't help me on that 1-3 number, but if you can get to the bottom of it, that'd be fantastic.
We aim to please.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. But what were you doing talking to Telstra? I thought you were talking to Optus about femtocells. What's a femtocell?
I was talking to Optus earlier. Right, femtocells are basically your own little mini mobile phone base station. It's designed to cover, you know, 30 metres or whatever, basically a house. So... the idea with these is that if you've got, and Optus have just started selling them. They're doing a limited trial in parts of Sydney and Queensland, and I think they're going to expand it in a couple of months. Basically, what it is if you've got dodgy Optus reception at home, you can get a little femtocell, plug it into your home internet access. And just like you can get a Wi-Fi hotspot and plug it into your home internet access, once you plug this thing in, it generates a little mobile phone network. So your mobile phone can link to it just like it was a base tower. So you've now get really strong reception inside your house.
That's a pretty cunning way to actually fix dead spots in the network. I would have thought it to other people's expense.
Well, that's one way that people are looking at it. Yeah, it's just Optus shafting customers and saying, oh, our network's no good, you fix it. You pay for it rather than us spending the money to fix our network. There are some catches and there are some trade-offs, and you've got to decide if this is the right thing for you. One of the big catches is it now all goes in and out through your home internet connection. So Optus say that you want a home internet connection of at least 1 megabit per second down and 256 up for this thing to work reliably. So if your internet goes down or gets throttled, the thing doesn't work properly. So you've got to fall back to whatever Optus coverage you can get around the house. Now, that means that if you're using the phone and you're streaming stuff through the Optus mobile network, you're paying for it because you've got, we'll say, a gig of data on your phone, but it's also going in and out on your home connection. So you're paying for it twice.
So they really want to use... Optus are getting a win twice on you in a lot of respects.
Well, it depends. All right, you might be in Big Pond Cable, right? Mm-hmm. And then have this Optus Femtocell, because it works with any ISP. You don't have to have Telstra as your home internet provider to use a Femtocell. But if you've got an Optus Femtocell plugged into a Big Pond cable, and then you pick up your phone, connect to the Optus Femtocell, and then start to watch YouTube. Now, you're chewing through the data allowance that you've got for your phone. So Optus may say, right, you've got a gig a month. You're now chewing through that. But it's going in and out through your Big Pond connection. So it's also getting clocked up there as well. Even if you're an Optus customer, the data's not unmetered. And they reckon an average user will add at 1 gig a month to their home internet usage by having a Femtocell. That's something that you need to think about as well.
Yeah, but if you've got problems with reception in a gig and you've got good broadband, a gig's really not that much in this day and age, is it?
It depends what your home plan is. That's the thing. That's what you need. I mean, I think there are still some really terrible sub-5-gig plans out there. If you're on less than 5 gig a month, then chewing through a gig is significant. But the big thing that a lot of people are asking is, why would I pay Optus extra for their network to work as advertised when I could save that money? Because a Femtocell will cost you somewhere between $60 and $200 up front, depending on what your plan is, or you can give them $5 or $10 a month. So for that kind of money, you could just go to Telstra. Pay Telstra a little bit more and be with a network that works better. So that's one of the decisions. But the thing I thought of is, if you're with Optus and Optus is your... Well, say you've got a work phone and you have to be with Optus, right? You've got no choice. You can't churn. But you've got terrible Optus coverage at home. Then a Femtocell makes a lot of sense. Because you can't say, oh, I'll just switch to Telstra. So, but for an extra couple of bucks, your Optus work phone will actually work at home, and if you're lucky, you might even get work to pay for it.
So how far does a Femtocell actually extend the range of your handset?
Well, they said to me that the Femtocell from the base station extends about 30 metres, so it should do your house and maybe next door or so, but it is locked down. You can lock it down to devices, I assume, by what's on the SIM card. Has a number, I can't remember what it's called, not the IMEI, because I think that's for the handset. But so only devices with Optus SIM cards can connect to it, and only the devices you've authorised. Because or else if your next-door neighbour had an Optus phone, every time he picked up the user, he might be going in and out through your home internet connection.
Well, there'd be a good chance of that, I guess, wouldn't there?
Well, no, there's not, because it's locked down, and you have to authorise which devices can use it. So someone walking by on the street with an Optus phone cannot get onto it.
Yeah, the drawback... The other drawback, Adam, presumably, is that it's not going to support roaming. So if you're on a call and you walk out your driveway and down the street to your car to get in your car, your call's not going to roam onto Optus and hand over seamlessly, is it? It's going to drop out.
Supposedly it supports roaming out, but not in. Now, whether it actually, how well it works is still, you know, open to debate. But supposedly you can start a call or a data session on your home Femtocell, walk out the door, walk down the street, get away from yours and seamlessly hand over to the to another Optus tower, but not the other way around.
Mm.
If you're on a call and you walk within range of your Femtocell, then it won't hand over automatically to the Femtocell.
Interesting.
Now, the big thing here is what will Optus offer in terms of good, better plans for femtocell users. Now, Optus don't want to go on the record talking about this yet, but they're hinting fairly heavily that that's what they're going to do when they get out of the trial phase, that you will be able to get a femtocell plan for your phone. And this is what we've seen if you look at where femtocells are being rolled out in other countries. This is what they've done. So, for example, you might have, when you're at home and your phone is connected to your femtocell, you might be able to pick up your mobile phone and make local calls at untimed rates, or make free calls, or something like that, which is what they tried to do years ago with the Orange Network when that first came out. But the way they did that is they just sort of used this triangulation thing and went, oh, we think you're near your house, so we'll change the rate. And as you can imagine, that didn't always work very well. This would be a lot more accurate, because if you're on the femtocell, you're at your house.
Yeah,
so
well,
if they do that, that then changes the value proposition. It's not just, hey, I'm getting a better voice signal.
Warlock in our chat, Adam, is saying that AT&T have femtocells and all their femto traffic is free, and apparently so is the cell call.
There you go. That's exactly the kind of thing. I think T-Mobile in Germany is another one that's rolled them out. And it tends to be people who are trying to eat away at the incumbent. Because if you read between the lines, the big thing here is that if Optus can get you to plug a femtocell into your home network and then use your mobile phone as your home phone and actually get home phone rates, you don't need a landline from Telstra anymore. And then you can't, if you get rid of your landline from Telstra, you can't then have Telstra as your home ISP, because Telstra won't go naked. Telstra wants you to have a home phone.
Didn't Telstra try something naked not so long back?
Not that I know of, but it's possible.
I thought I read probably 6 months or back or something that they were trying some naked DSL types of options, but anyway, there you go.
I don't think they're very, we'll put it this way, they're not keen on it. They might have trialed it, but they haven't embraced it the way that, we'll say, IINet and Internode and some of the others are. So Optus would say this is a big opportunity is, hey, let's get you to give away your landline, make your calls through us, maybe you'll switch your internet to us as well, and hey, we'll offer you this fantastic bundle where you can have your home phone, your internet, your mobile going through your home phone, and you know, do the whole femtocell bundle. That would make a lot more sense. If it's just about paying them extra so your phone works the way it should bloody work anyway, then it seems like a scam. But if they offer some really good femto plans, which they won't talk about yet, but we should find out by the time the trial finishes, that will make it sound a lot more interesting.
So when are we seeing these devices hit the market?
Well, I think you can already buy them now, but only in, you know, where do I have it written down? It's like Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, Wollongong, Sydney, maybe somewhere else around Sydney. I think they're testing them around some places with a lot of ridges and valleys and stuff like that, so you get a lot of black spots, coverage black spots. See, Melbourne's fairly flat. Sydney's a lot more up and down, so it makes a good sense to test in places like that.
So they're cherry-picking their customers based on their poor geographical, their challenging geographical locations.
Yeah, that's where they're testing it first, because that's where it makes the most sense. That's where they're most likely to find people who go, I've got an Optus phone, and most of the places where I use it, it's okay, but unfortunately when I get home, I'm just down in a valley or something and it doesn't work very well. I don't want to change from Optus for whatever reason, but hey, for an extra $5 a month, if I could get great coverage at home rather than having to stand in the backyard on one leg hanging from the clothesline and be able to make a call, that'd be fantastic.
That reminds me of Steve Woz's earlier days when back at Stanford and all that sort of stuff. Adam, thank you very much for a bit of an update on that. Any other gossip that you've got you want to throw into the mix tonight?
I think that'll probably do it for the moment.
All right.
I will let you know. I'm always cruising around doing my view from the couch here and there, so I've got some cool stuff coming up.
Absolutely. All right, that's Adam Turner, our regular view from the couch man, and you can hear him on 3AW in Melbourne here on weekdays as well. He's a bit everywhere. So thanks, Adam, for calling in this evening. It's been absolutely terrific to find out about a femtocell. I think Mark's talked about those over the course of time, hasn't he, guys?
He has, yep.
And I think you could actually get them in the States. Well, obviously, Woolock confirmed that you can on AT&T at the moment too. So that's all got to be relatively good, I would have thought. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Adobe.
Yeah, it's a feature, but it's a feature that has an unintended consequence.
No. I can't do 70 meg right now.
Do you use Mobile Me?
No.
Yeah, for the promo, what sound would that
sort
be?
Sort of like that sort of a noise.
Really?
Well, that's a fair question.
It is a fair question.
It won't go in the promo. I was quite confident of that.
Kids thought it was great too.
They are.
They're big, they make a lot of noise, and they smell.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
Hello to Bob, who says, coming through loud and clear on the stream in Koh Samui, Thailand.
Bob, I liked Koh Samui.
Thailand.
He's holidaying, on holidays, Bob there from Perth.
I work with a couple of Thai people.
Are you staying at the Indra Regent there by any chance on Koh Samui? That's a good spot.
Let us know. Let us know, Bob.
There's a great bar there. Just sit there and you watch over the water because it just there's just islands. A wonderful part, Koh Samui.
We go it's far and wide, don't we? This program gets everywhere.
It's in the triangle. It's probably the triangle.
Is it a bad triangle, not a good triangle?
Yeah, yes. The puppy dogs at the airport have a good sniff when you come back. It's one of those little, the beagles go berserk. But anyway, enjoy, Bob. Good part of the world.
The legal beagles.
Yeah, them ones. They're good. Hey, Google defends Android openness. You know how there's been a bit of shenanigans about what's been going on with apps and things like that in the App Store and stuff of late?
Yeah.
People seeing getting nasty things through their App Store because Apple has the most lockdown and Microsoft's not too far. Well, they just don't have many apps yet. They're getting there, but not as many as like Apple does. But the Droid market does, and there's been a fair bit of criticism.
It's not as regulated.
That's correct. Anyway, Google has defended its open reputation after claims the tech giant has adopted a more closed approach over the development for Android 3. Anyway, the vice president of engineering said the firm had remained committed to fostering the development of an open platform for the mobile industry and beyond. Last week, Google came under fire after it told the mobile manufacturers and providers they had to go through Rubin being Andy Rubin, the VP, before they could make changes to the Android. So, interesting. They're obviously coming down a little bit more securely, I guess, which is good because this is a whole new scheme. I was talking about this on ABC Radio today, that your smartphone really is a computer in your hand, and people exploit those like they exploit the ones on your desktop at home and the like. So, you just want to be a bit vigilant about what you download. Don't trust everything unless it comes from like a good source. Really? Anyway, good source with a pie.
That's true. And you can download and install stuff like on your Android phone, for example, without you don't have to go to the Android market.
No,
you can follow links and you can go to web pages and people can put installers up completely independent of the Android market.
An example of that would be if you have a Telstra device, they have a mapping thing in there called Where Is or something like that. I can't, don't quote me. Hang on, I've got my device here.
Where is Telstra's census.
Is that the one?
Mapping.
Because there was an update came through on it, and when I said, oh, yeah, you can do that, it came back with warnings, untrusted source, not good. Would you like to trust Telstra? I had to think long and hard about it, but nonetheless.
You thought, is that a rhetorical question?
Yeah.
What am I being asked here?
Yes.
Do I expect an answer?
Anyway, I went for that. Now, with the prevalence of all these new devices coming out on the market, like the new iPad 2s and all these new gadgets, Adobe have revealed the details of Creative Suite 5.5.
Adobe.
Which is... Thank you, Graham. For those people not in the studio, Dr. Ron just got a big clip over the ear.
Graham just assaulted me.
He did.
Well, you got him. You got him with a fork in the eye the other week, so I think it's only fair.
Right, we're even now.
Yeah, good. Anyway, the Adobe, their Creative Suite 5.5 is going to come. That's Photoshop, InDesign, and Flash Builder. Significant changes to how Apple plans to release and make money from these platforms. For one thing, the alternative to the traditionally priced version of Creative Suite, because that's a fairly expensive suite. If you're familiar with it, Adobe customers can now purchase CS 5.5 through a subscription model. And these subscriptions aren't traditionally cheap, around $35 a month to $129 a month where you are. Anyway, still, that's got to be cheaper than spending the $2,500 or $3,000 that these software packages tend to come with.
But anyway, a lot of new things for the new, you know, tablet-y type sort of things. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. Hmm. I must admit, Flash and Apple have never really seen eye to eye, have they?
No, they're not friends.
No.
At Supernova, I took a photo of someone was dressed up as the Flash, comic book Flash.
Yeah.
And I took a photo of him with my iPhone 4, but I moved slightly to the right so that no one was in the photo.
Oh.
Because you can't see Flash on iPhones. Aha! Yeah, other people didn't get the joke, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. Have you got any computer gamey gossip at all for this week?
Not really.
Should I play your theme or not?
Play it anyway.
Play it, it's fun.
Okay, play it.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
Are you up, iPad girl?
Yeah, I know. There's not much to talk about with games this week, actually. There hasn't been a lot on. There's a bit in transmedia has been going on. Do you know what transmedia is?
No. What's transmedia?
It's all about like a story arc or a particular work of fiction spanning across different types of media. So comics, books, games, movies, but it all being about the same thing. So for example, like Lord of the Rings comics, you know, how it's about the book and then the movie and then it's all sort of...
Or Buffy season 8.
Yeah. Well,
but she's saying when it comes out on the web and on the gaming platforms and on the videos and
so say if you really like Mass Effect, there's, you know, comics set in the Mass Effect universe or something and you want to read all about that. Random House Publishing Group and THQ, a games publisher, have joined forces to make a team for original intellectual property and doing all the transmedia stuff together, which is a bit exciting. A big book publishing group getting together with a games publishing group to make joint ventures together.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of exciting, I
think.
Yeah, nothing new. Cross-media, on RIT. Transmedia.
No, that's all gone very quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe they've got better things to do. They're arguing about NBNs now, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that the earthquake in Japan seems to have had a big dent in the 3DS sales in Japan.
They had another one today.
I heard. A big one too.
7.1.
That's not nice.
No, not nice indeed. At
all. Come on, Earth, give them a break. Yeah, the 3DS was expected to ship 1.5 million copies a month after launch, and they've only sold something like 850,000.
Is that because the market over there just loves them so much?
Yeah,
they're just not buying because they don't.
Japan are mad for DS, absolutely mad for it. And people just aren't buying them as much, obviously because of the earthquake, but as well as people are saying there's not that many appealing titles to them.
Yeah.
And that might be letting them down as well. But yeah, everyone expected it to go gangbusters in Japan, earthquake or no earthquake, and it hasn't really.
So, yeah.
That's a bit interesting.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there's not much going on.
All right. Richard Branson's been up to no good. Well, you know what he's like.
Down to no good.
Down to no good. Yes, down. Yes. Literally down. Google has sponsored Richard Branson in a two-year expedition to the deepest parts of the world's ocean in hope of adding it to Google Earth. Just what we need.
They're going to have Google Ocean Floor.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do...
They already did have Google Ocean Floor.
I hope they do Sydney Harbour.
Well, goodness knows what's
down there. Because remember all those bottom of the harbour schemes? I'd like to see some of those. Warlock's probably familiar with a few of them down there. But anyway, yeah, Richard Branson's going to go dive the depths because that's what you do when you're an adventurer and you've got too much cash. You go off and do these things. But good luck to him, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But did you say Google Ocean Floor?
Yes. Yes.
I just made that up. Is that the actual name of it? It's something like that, isn't it?
No,
is
but something like that already exists, though. You can see
They do, but this is mapping of more details.
How deep does it go?
I don't know, but put it this way,
Branson. As deep as it needs to get to the ocean floor.
All the way to the bottom.
Wow.
During this week, Branson unveiled the Virgin Oceanic Submarine, a one-person craft that was made of 3.6 tons of carbon fiber and titanium and could plunge, wait for it, 11.2 kilometres underwater. So there you go. That's how deep it could go.
Wow.
Kilometres.
I'm born on this side of the Yarra. Sorry. Anyway, according to Virgin Oceanic's webpage, the craft could operate for 24 hours unaided and travel up to 10 kilometres over the ocean floor while collecting video data.
Can they go down and look at the Titanic?
Oh, I guess they could, but that's been done before.
Yeah, but we've got to do it more before it's gone.
Oh, yeah, before the little sea creatures eat it all.
Yeah.
earth.google.com/ocean.
But it doesn't go into detail, does it? See if there's a Titanic. See if you can find the Titanic on that. That's a challenge for you, Dr. Ron.
Find me the Titanic.
Okay.
It's been done. It's been done before. People have found it already.
Yeah, they've been
probably maps in 3D, you need Google Earth plugin.
Find the Atlantis.
Okay. There's okay. They might find Japanese.
It's in another galaxy. Did you not watch that episode?
Submarines in the bottom of Sydney Harbour. You never know.
Yeah.
They found one not so long ago, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
From the Second World War.
Yep. Oh, lots of surprises, but I'm sure Richard will find a lot of things.
How creatures deep did you say it goes?
11.2 kilometres.
Kilometres.
Chuck in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, I thought you'd find all these little wrecks down the bottom there.
It can't go to the Titanic, I'm sorry.
It's too deep.
Far too deep. Yeah, 21 kilometres.
Is it?
Damn.
Come on, Richard, right. Lift.
No, hang on. No, hang on. I'm reading that wrong. Hang on, I'll find it in a minute.
Okay.
Is it kilometres?
Oh, no, depth of 4 kilometres, so it can go easily.
Ooh.
Easily.
There you go. Your wish is his command.
4 kilometres.
Excellent. Make it happen.
I agree with Graham. It is kilometres. You don't say centimetres or millimetres.
No.
Kilometres. Kilometres.
Kilometres.
Kilometres?
No. That's that's how far away Kylie is.
Did you see...
kilometres.
Did you see Mark Zuckerberg on 60 Minutes last night?
No.
Oh, it was quite an interesting interview. It was quite good. They quizzed him about all the other things that you'd expect him to be quizzed on.
Was like he as socially freedom. Inept as usual?
No, he's actually improved quite a bit.
Oh, has he's taking lessons?
I think he's been to a media coach. He was very good,
etiquette
actually. He didn't
lady.
Sweat too much this time.
Some delicate British lady tells him how to act, probably.
Really? British?
And tells him what's unacceptable.
Yeah, unacceptable.
He's not acceptable.
Anyway, Facebook, the world's largest social network, wants to get in on computer hardware now. So you'll be able to buy the Facebook
Facebook server.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you.
The company that revolutionized social networking on the internet has teamed up with some tech hardware giants such as HP, Dell, AMD, and Intel to launch the Open Compute Program. CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the project aims to offer specifications and designs for more power-efficient, faster, and cheaper servers shared openly with other companies.
Yeah, I'll whack this in the news. That's how slow a news week it was. They have said that they're going to announce... Yeah, the green secrets to their rival companies.
Green secrets?
Yeah, the Open Compute Project.
Oh.
Because they want to make the world a greener place, but they came under criticism from people like Greenpeace saying, no, you can do more than that. Because
okay.
A lot of the energy consumption is taken up by cooling, air conditioning in those sorts of data centres. So they've said, look, we've got really good cooling systems now that use air from outside and we don't run them through... traditional air conditioning units.
Well, how's this for a bit of information? When I was in Google a year ago, I was looking around the place and had a good chat with some of the guys there. They've got solar cells on absolutely the roof of every building there at Google, and it powers 30% of the complex. That's not bad off the roof.
Only 30%.
Come on, think about Google. There's a lot of power that's going into
there
that
is,
joint.
And 30% is pretty good. Like,
yeah,
culling your electricity bill by 30% is no mean feat. But
yeah,
but you think if you had panels on every part of every bit of roof space, you'd be able to do better than that. You think you'd be feeding power back into the grid?
Well, it depends on how much you consume, and they would consume
truckloads, wouldn't they?
Truckloads, yes, planet loads, almost
a metric truckload,
kilo loads,
and the metric truckload.
Now, also, Dr. Ron, briefly,
yes.
As you were talking about in the opening of the show, Google is going to boost its spending on original YouTube content, which is what you were talking about with extra channels and streaming and things like that.
So they're going to buy content to put up on YouTube, are they?
Well, Google is going to strengthen its relationship with Hollywood and the online program makers in an attempt to reposition YouTube for the internet-connected television, so that if you've got something like a Western Digital, TV Live, or anything that connects to YouTube... you can watch what it streams, watch what it pushes out to you. The world's most popular video website will invest millions of dollars in professionally produced original programming as more viewers watch YouTube from their living room. And it is. Everyone's in the habit of watching YouTube now. I guess one of my favourite at the moment is Equals 3. Have you seen that boy? I can't think of his name. Very funny. Have a look on Equals 3 on the website. He talks about...
What's the website?
It's on YouTube, but just put in Equals 3. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I've got a mental blank, but that's all right. He talks about viral videos on YouTube and what's really big on YouTube and things like that. So,
and that would be the ultimate...
Don't watch it in front of the kiddies.
...video streaming as well, because you connect to YouTube when you want to. You sit down on your couch, you get comfy, get set up there, and you click play, and off you go.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to have a complex account set up or anything like that.
But a lot of people
just
watch YouTube these days.
Video on demand.
One of my favourites is Simon's Cat. Have you seen that?
Simon's cat.
Yes. Yeah. Have a look at Simon's cat on YouTube. That's hilarious. Simon's cat? I don't know. Right. Maybe.
It's awesome.
No, I think David Jones, a friend of mine, did. Not the retail store, but he's another mate of mine. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, so there you go. Google are going to spend a bit of money in that sort of genre, which I think is quite good. Twitter disabled the new version of its website. You know how you can got two versions of Twitter now? Although if you don't use the website, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about.
I do use the website a little bit. What have they got another version?
Well, there's the new version and the old version. The new version lets you have video and stuff like that to the right-hand side.
That's the one I'm using, yeah.
And there's a little icon at the top that says go back and use the old version if you like. But there were some service disruptions last Tuesday displaying an older version of the network site because the new site was becoming completely inaccessible to others.
Oh, I see. Switch to old Twitter, yeah, it says, when I click on my account name.
And I had a firewall the other week too on Twitter. They're obviously inundated again. Maybe they need to expand. They're in in San Francisco. I thought there'd be plenty of servers available for them over there, but who knows. Anyway, a message on Twitter's webpage that provides updates for the server status said that they've temporarily disabled the new Twitter, and their engineers were re-enabling it when they got around to relieving some of the pressure on the system. So,
which they've obviously done, because the new Twitter was back up on Dr. On Screen a second ago.
Yeah. I didn't notice the outage at all.
Didn't you? Well, there you go. Chrome offers malicious download warnings. You're a Chrome user, right? In fact, I think we're all pretty much Chrome users.
Yep.
Google has added malicious download warnings to its browser, starting with dangerous Windows executables. The feature targets drive-by download attacks, showing up warnings if a user tries to get a malicious file onto their system. The warning will also show up when users visit any other URL on the blacklist within Google's Safe Browsing API, which is probably not bad. So if you try and go to one of those places which is known for putting nasty things on your computer, then
you get a warning.
That's pretty good. But I thought you did anyway. But maybe that's when you went through Google itself.
That's right, yes.
But now it's the browser that does it as well.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Good thing. Thank you, Google. Anyway, yes. If you're a Google... Have you loaded up Firefox 4 yet, by the way, Graham?
Yeah, I did somewhere. I haven't used it. You obviously haven't... Was it on here?
Yeah.
No, I don't use it. No.
No, just curious to know whether anyone had loaded up. I must admit, I tried it at work the other day, but wasn't sort of like inspiring me to do stuff. I went back to...
You weren't jumping out of your pants? No. Like, wasn't that exciting?
No.
On this machine, it's not here.
Yeah, there are some things that that Chrome does not as well as Firefox, and there's some the other way as well. So it's just a matter of being which one you like. So, all right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We've got those wonderful four things now. It used to be three, but it's grown to four. OddSpot, Gadget, Application, and Website. Not necessarily in that order, though.
Yeah. Unless you're really going to confuse me.
No, I'm not going to. We'll just push play and see what happens, shall we?
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOSS as well?
Steve Wozniak, there was
the traitor. I'm down to four cables again, not 14,000.
Go away.
Click here to upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
Long-time listener and valued contributor GJMCN says this week's gadget should be the Apple HDMI Digital AV Connector. This is an adapter cable that connects your iPad, iPhone 4 or 4th generation iPod Touch to your big TV via HDMI.
Woo-hoo.
GJ says, I bought one of these on Sunday last week for $45 and an HDMI 1.4 2-meter flat lead from Radio Parts Group for about $10 plugged into the TV. It works with video and photos, slideshows, and is compatible with iPad and iPhone V4. This is what I have, says GJ. It's a cheap alternative to TV, good for travel, and also, if you want a cheap cable hookup, with 3's internet TV package, e.g. Sky or CNN, for just $8 a month. You can run it from your iDevice into your big screen TV.
Wow.
I like that idea.
Mm. So this week's gadget is, in fact, a piece of wire.
It is a piece of wire. But it's
well, just to be clear.
It's the way you use the piece
how
of
long
wire.
Is it?
Yes.
That's a rather personal question.
That is a rather personal question. The gadget, Andrew, the Apple HDMI Digital AV Connector.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
Thanks, Mad Lid, for this contribution. The website this week is... You are listening to... That's it. You are listening .to.
Oh, really?
This is a new take on an old concept. You can listen to emergency services radio channels in New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Montreal, stream through your web browser, superimposed on a postmodern ambience.
What does that mean? Like birds chirping in the park?
Not an ambulance. Oh, okay. The website uses embedded media players to stream radio traffic live from scanners in the United States, mixed with SoundCloud music tracks. You can also tweet. You can Facebook like what you're listening to directly from the webpage.
Yeah, and he's got it up already. You can take the microphone off the stand.
The Montreal channel's... How cool is that?
There's a murder down the street and they're playing passive music too, yeah.
The Montreal channel is listening, is interesting listening on the radio because it's all in French. So a bit of fun. Thanks, Lid. That's our website. It's youarelistening.to.
Woohoo! Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
We have no more Plantronics M100s to give away.
So this person misses out.
This person misses out entirely.
Oh, see, last week should have been the one you got it in on.
Pocket Weather AU. Contributed to us by Marty from Geelong. Thanks, Marty.
Hello, Marty.
My vote for App of the Week, says Marty, is Pocket Weather AU by Shifty Jelly. Even though it sources its data from the Bureau of Met, the way it is displayed is great. The app also displays the BOM radars, and there's a very nice and accurate graph for the tides all around Australia.
Hang on, let me find it on the Android market.
You'll
here.
Find it in the market there.
Oh, shift unlock, scrolling. Okay, so if you
control
market.
Open Apple reset, hit market. You okay. can see the current temperature Pocket. Without opening the application via a push badge on the icon.
Pocket Weather. Are you here? It is. Here it is. Okay, there Shifty
are,
Jelly.
There are five different skins to choose from. Just shake your phone to change between skins. I like
this sounds
that.
Like something I've seen on the iPhone.
Okay.
Very familiar.
It's available on the iPhone, Andrew. So it has sunrise, sunset times.
Being ported from the iPhone.
Automatically finds your local weather using your current location, which is also clever.
It needs to know your location using your GPS, and it wants full network communications.
That's it.
Done.
Available okay. for iPhone and Android. It's $2.25 to purchase in the Android market.
Really?
For more information, you can go to Shifty Jelly.
No, it's not. It's gone up.
.com.au. How much is it today?
$2.48. Includes a GST of 23 cents. Select payment method.
Oh, put in your credit card.
No.
4564 7.
No. Oh. My Amex credit card is unusable for this purchase. What does that mean?
That means you can't use Amex.
Oh.
Rejected.
Rejected. It's official. I thought, didn't Google have its own checkout?
Yeah, on the market. It
yeah,
does.
Well, I'm in the market. It's not letting me do Google checkout. And it says Android market accepts all those.
You're not in the market for the right things, Andrew.
Oh, is that what it is? Buy now for $2.48. It says select payment. No, I can't buy it. I'm sorry. I would have bought it otherwise. Sounds like a great app.
It does. Sounds like a good one. Thanks, Marty, for the contribution. That's Pocket Weather AU.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
A security guard patrolling a parking garage in the United States was confronted by a trespasser. After a short scuffle, the trespasser allegedly ate the security guard's Bluetooth earpiece.
What?
Ate it?
Ate it?
The security guard, a long-time listener and contributor to Tech Talk Radio, said that during the scuffle, the offender grabbed his Bluetooth earpiece and, quote, shoved the thing in his mouth and swallowed it.
Was it tasty? Maybe we should send him an M100 replacement.
The offender was then subdued with pepper spray and handcuffed before being taken into custody by police. The offender has been charged with a number of offences arising from the incident.
Including theft of a Bluetooth headset?
Disappointed that he didn't win a replacement Plantronics headset in the Tech Talk Radio App of the Week competition, the security guard said, nonetheless, not to worry as it only cost him $15, and added that he didn't buy the expensive stuff anyway, you know, for good reason. The current location of the security guard's headset and its operational condition is unknown.
I'm speechless. I think everybody is.
That's our odd spot, Andrew.
Really?
Thank you to the anonymous Tech Talk contributor.
That's good. So just refresh my memory what happened then. Someone chewed a Bluetooth device. That would...
The contributor was confronted by a trespasser.
Like eating a battery?
There was a short
painful.
Scuffle.
Would be a short circuit.
Then the trespasser ate his Bluetooth earpiece.
Oh, Was it a big one?
Imagine passing that
through your system.
Well,
I'll tell you what. What happened when the phone rang?
I think I would eat it. I would swallow it without chewing.
None shall pass.
It reminds me of...
You wouldn't want it back, would you?
Didn't you have an odd spot a week or so back with an animal, someone lost a phone?
Was it a leopard or a tiger or
a crocodile?
An alligator.
Yeah, that's right. A crocogator.
Yeah.
I ate a mobile telephone.
So there's a lot of this eating of technology going around these days. Hopefully there wasn't any arsenic in it or something like that.
Hopefully this is not a trend which we're seeing emerging. Hopefully these are two unrelated incidents.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's going to be the result of this? Is that
Mercury poisoning? Every
Bluetooth headset we buy from now on will have a warning label on it saying not to be taken internally.
Not for human consumption.
No.
That's what we'll find. This will be the result of this.
Not to be used as protection from a hurricane.
There's not really much technology at all that you can eat, can you?
Smoked in our chat room says, hide your iPod shuffles.
What about Apple products? Honeycomb Android.
Honeycomb Android.
See, this is what our listeners get up to in the chat. Yeah, Honeycomb Android. And they had a few. What was it? Eclair?
Gingerbread?
Froyo.
Yeah. Wouldn't taste like that when you consumed it, though, would it?
Wouldn't taste like frozen yogurt, no.
Could be false advertising then, couldn't it?
Georgia, who won a Plantronics headset last week, is hiding it from the ravenous Tech Talk
listeners. Oh, he did. His new Plantronics. Yeah, absolutely.
He's hiding it from the throng in the chat room there.
All right.
Yes, when the Warlock says when the iPod Shuffle came out, it had a warning about eating it because it was chewing gum shaped.
It was, too.
Oh, yeah, it was. Like a stick of chewing gum. Mm.
Yeah, well, you'd have to do that for some users, wouldn't you?
Potentially.
Anyway, it's that time of the night. Should we go now? Got a family to go home to, do stuff like that. Where have you been listening to us around the world? We all have day jobs, don't we? Yeah, absolutely.
Minecraft.
Oh, dear.
Still trying to get through Portal, thanks to you.
Excellent, excellent. I hope you enjoy it. It'll be good.
You have been listening to...
Steam Powered.
Four people in a studio. From left to right, Lena, Ron, Graham, and me, Andrew. We're going to come back next week. We'll probably do it again.
We'll try and drink less red cordial.
Hopefully the news picks up a bit this week. Yeah, yes. And don't eat any headsets. They're not good for you. Please try to avoid. Yeah, all right. Okay, same time next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Lena van der Venter. Expert opinion is provided by Adam Turner and our US correspondents are Lydia Davis and Mark Diggins. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. The show is broadcast, recorded and streamed live each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wishes to thank all the stations around Australia that rebroadcast Tech Talk Radio each week. Tech Talk Radio is also available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising inquiries, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.